going to call the meeting to order.
No, 7 p.m.
Oh, by the time Dawn, by the time Dawn's ready, it'll be.
Hey!
No, you're late.
Maybe I was sharing our tutorial that we just listened to.
7 o'clock, right in the nose on my computer.
Right.
All right.
37.
Now, usually we go let the record show that all or most of the aldermen are present, but tonight it's a little different. So should we take roll? No? Almost everybody's here. A few absent. All right, we'll just... We do. I checked that.
Such a little legal.
All right. Items of business. Oh, first, consider the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
And Alderman Flanagan. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. Item 4A, recommend approval of American Legion Post 75 request to solicit on public right-of-way, November 12, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks, Alderman Vogelsberg, any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to excuse myself from voting on this issue, being a member of the American Legion Post 75.
Okay, thank you. All right, no questions. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Okay. Item passed.
Announce the abstain.
And Alderman Singer abstains. Item 4B, recommend approval of draft ordinance amending Title 4, Section 2, et cetera, Class B3 liquor license for Cato Alenia Bistro.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Vogelsberg and Alderman Hill. Questions, comments? Alderman Planning.
I know they're located at 500 South 3rd, but where is 500 South 3rd?
On the very end of Dodson 8 by the plaza.
The south end
of
the
plaza. So it's that new restaurant that's coming on it? Okay.
We were also confused. The whole building, all the way from south all the way down to the other end, is all labeled 500, but they have different units.
Correct.
So it's quite confusing because there's a 500 3rd Street on the north end of the building and there's a 500 3rd Street on the south end of the building. Mm-hmm. But this is the restaurant right at the south end, right near our beautiful statue of the Rain Man.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Did we have a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. All right. 4C, approval of draft ordinance 2011-46, amending Title 4. This is also liquor license. This one's for Chelios Pub.
So moved.
Flanagan, Alderman Hill seconds. Questions? Nope. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? 4D. Recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award and execution of contract with AE Fraz in the amount of $57,178 for the Elm Avenue culvert improvements.
Second.
Alderman Hill, Alderman Vogelsberg. Any questions?
I'd like to thank Ms. McKittrick for her clarifying memo on this so we all understand, and Attorney Radovich, where we understand why the lowest bidder was disqualified. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? Nope. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, cool. We flew right through that, only to run headfirst into 4E, recommend draft ordinance amending Title 10 and Title 11 related to sign regulations.
So moved.
Second.
Bollesberg and Marks. Mr. Hunt jumped right up. He's raring to go on this one.
You betcha. Good evening. Dick Hunt, Director of Community Development. I thought I'd just go through a couple of points that are really highlights that are really covered in our last meeting with the committee back on September 26th. You had directed staff to make a series of modifications to the proposed sign regulations that have gone through our many workshops and public hearings and meetings. Regarding A-frame signs, provision's been added to allow A-frame signs for establishments that do not have a projecting sign. There was discussion about creating either-or kind of opportunity for those types of signs. And then likewise, for projecting signs, there's a provision that's been added to the draft ordinance that would allow establishments that do not have an A-frame sign to have a projecting sign. Downtown directional signs, we've had a lot of discussion on this. I know on the staff level, we had proposed through the various processes a 10-square-foot directional sign that would be allowed on corner properties directing people to businesses off main thoroughfares. That 10 square feet was proposed by staff to be debited against the 40 square feet of allowable signage area. And through the discussion, committee felt that that 10 square feet should be added to the 40 square feet that's allowed on each property. So that change has been made. Window signs can be placed on either the inside or the outside of a display window. And so that change has been added as well. Public interest signs, these are really signs for special events. They can be placed 30 days in advance of the event and during the course of the event, and then removed at the conclusion of the event. And finally, second floor signs, quite a bit of discussion there on that topic as well. And wall signs, awning signs, canopy signs, and projecting signs can be located in this draft now above the first floor into the second floor portion of the building as another option. I wanted to point out additionally that the current sign regulation format, going back to July of 2010 when we first started discussing this, the overall objective here was to really correct some deficiencies in the current ordinance in terms of just some of the antiquated provisions and some awkward language that was confusing the public, permit applicants that are coming to us asking for permits. We also wanted to try and do some things creatively with graphic illustrations. A picture's worth a thousand words, and so we were trying to incorporate graphic illustrations to explain the different components of the regulations, and so the original staff proposal did that. And finally, there were just some sections of our sign code, because it goes way back prior to the zoning ordinance rewrite in 95, that were simply antiquated and that really needed to be updated. So with all the improvements that we originally proposed back in July of 2010, there we had projecting signs were proposed, an additional element of flexibility given to merchants so that they can place a pedestrian-oriented projecting sign perpendicular to their store facade in front of their business. Electronic message board signs were incorporated into the code in several of the zoning districts. A provision for downtown directional signs was incorporated, and actually this came later on in our discussions with merchants that were looking for ways of directing people to their place of business if they weren't located on one of the major thoroughfares like State Street or Third Street. And so now we've got provisions in this code regarding directional signs, and that applies to, there's an option for doing it with a freestanding sign, a wall sign, or a projecting sign. So that's in addition to the A-frame directional sign option. So you basically now in this draft have four different ways that a property owner that doesn't have frontage on 3rd or State Street, that they can direct people to their business. I think that's demonstrating real flexibility on the part of the city and having this proposal evolve in this way. A master sign plan for multi-tenant buildings has been incorporated into this proposed sign regulation from the get-go, from the very beginning. And understand that clarifies a practice that we were basically concocting over time, basically working with applicants and just talking across the building permit counter, trying to get people to think in terms of a unified signage approach for their building when they have multiple tenants within the building. What we've done is we've put that in the code as an actual regulation. It's voluntary. It's not mandatory. It's an administrative review process. Those plans are reviewed internally by staff. There's no involvement of the plan, commission, and council. So we tried to make this as easy to work as possible. And the mandatory process, if there's a change in the master sign plan for that multi-tenant building, they can go back through the same staff review process. And there's a set of standards in the code that directs the plan commission review. It's not just staff thinking, oh, this looks good or this looks bad. There's a set of standards that are followed in conducting that review and in approving that sign. We've expanded the scope of the variations that are possible to signs that are proposed. For example, right now, the way that the proposed code is structured, secondary facades, if you want to put a sign on a secondary facade, you can request that relief. If you want to increase the number of signs that are allowed by the code, you can request that relief. If you want to increase the height of the sign that you wish to locate on your property, you can request that relief through the sign code. If you want it more size, more square footage of signage, you can request that relief through this variation process that's built into the code. And of course, as we all know, the proposal does incorporate phasing out the commercial sign committee and gives that authority for consideration of those sign variation requests to the plan committee. And then also, it's worth noting that on sign variations considered by the plan commission, the proposed ordinance has the effect of streamlining the process, because if you're a developer or you're seeking to redevelop a piece of property for business purposes and you want to do signs, in addition to if you were downtown and say your site's downtown, so you've got a plan commission review, you've got an HPC review, then you're going to be going to the committee of the whole and the city council for action. So right there, there's four entities, and then you throw in the fifth one, the commercial sign committee. So rather than having five reviews for that proposal, we're taking the commercial sign committee out of that loop so that when the developer is submitting his plans to the plan commission for review and approval, recommendation and approval, he can incorporate his sign relief into that proposal. And so it reduces the number of bodies that review bodies that are looking at the plans. We think that just makes sound common sense and affects a more prompt review of a proposed development. And then finally, just a couple of things I wanted to emphasize. Actually, one more thing. When it comes to Historic Preservation Commission review, we've got now specific procedures and specific requirements that are laid out in the sign regulations so that if your project is located in the historic district, it goes point by point through what you have to do as a part of that Historic Preservation Commission review process for that sign and what you need to submit. And our current ordinance does not do that. So we're at a point where, we're before you here. Staff is recommending that this proposal, recommended for approval by the council, that we have a one-year performance review where we come back to you on a staff level and report back to you on how it's working. We would also recommend on a staff level that this ordinance, if acted on by the city council favorably, that it have an immediate effective date. With respect to A-frame signs specifically, there's an annual permit process in the proposed ordinance for A-frame signs. Getting a certificate of insurance, proof of the certificate of insurance, and a liability waiver from each A-frame sign applicant is important since these signs are in the public right of way. What we want to do is get those in hand promptly. So staff would recommend that if we're going to move forward with this ordinance, that regarding the A-frame signs, that, set a date later this year. I'm thinking, November 30th, December 1st, where we would be, before that date, we'd be communicating with the business community, laying out the requirements and the need for the insurance verification and liability waiver, and we'd get those in hand before the end of the year. And that would be a review with no fee tied to that application. So they submit the permit application together with those two requirements. Then come May 1st, that would trip the next annual review. So then every May 1st, these A-frame signs would be applied for on that annual permit basis, and there would be, as we charge now, a $60 review fee for sign permit applications. So those are the staff's thoughts specifically about A-frame signs and how we might implement these regulations, again, if approved. And then finally, I want to emphasize that there is, in the process of addressing the needs of the business community regarding A-frame signs, it's important to note that we are going to be involved in some work here to monitor this process. We're trying to establish this kind of balanced approach that allows businesses to legally provide these A-frame signs to advertise their businesses while at the same time being watchful of liability concerns, being watchful of the character of the street and what's going on with the visuals along the 3rd Street as well as State Street. And this is going to take some time from a staff perspective. We have many things that we do over the course of the business day. There may be a situation down the road where we're going to have to really examine our staffing needs and determine if we need some part-time hours to manage this program on an annual basis and to monitor the signs, address complaints, process violations. We have a very direct violation mechanism and fine mechanism within the ordinance. So the staff has the direct ability to fine applicants. We don't have to go to circuit court. There's a specific mechanism to fine people. And if they continue to have repeated violations, we can pull the permit. That language is in the code for that A-frame sign. So those are my thoughts, and report back to you based on the discussion we had last week or 2 weeks ago.
All right. Thank you very much. Questions? I'll open up to the committee. Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dick, let's see. I'm interested in the date that you're considering for implementation of the new sign ordinance of around...
Well, the A-frame sign provisions on the annual permits?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned around December the 1st.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the big weekends of the retail business in the community is December the 2nd, which is the Christmas walk.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So will that give the downtown businesses an opportunity to change their A-frames as a, prior to December the 1st so they would comply for that particularly important event?
Our thought was that most, based on what we have now, most of the A-frame signs that are being used out in the community would comply with the ordinance currently in terms of size and height and what have you. So we wouldn't expect changes to occur there.
Okay.
We think it's important that if we're sanctioning, if we're allowing these signs to be there, formally in our code, that we should get this certificate of insurance and liability waiver in-house as soon as possible.
Okay.
So that's why.
Well, there's plenty of time.
You know, and we would be, you know, corresponding with the business owners ahead of time. So that
over a month and a half, almost two months.
Right.
I think sounds like there's plenty of time. You mentioned the commercial sign committee. Did its early responsibilities include review of signs for new businesses, anytime a new business? Or did I misunderstand your comments?
Just variation requests, basically, and appeals.
Oh, okay.
That's what the Commercial Sign Committee has been doing.
Yeah, I understand there. I was a member.
Yeah, you're right.
I think I just misunderstood.
Okay, I apologize.
No, that's not your fault. I just was reading something into it, thought that maybe we were supposed to have been doing something, and that we were never notified that that was the responsibility. But that's not the case. So, great. Fine. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Sounds like some good improvements.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Runch, I just have just a, I think, first of all, it's a good idea that you're going to come back to us for a one-year performance. I thought that was really super. I thought that was a good addition to looking, you know, revisiting it. I do have a question, and I was trying to find it in the ordinance, and I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure if I missed it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is one applicant only allowed? Okay, if three businesses say on a certain area wants to put three signs up at the corner. Are they allowed to do so?
They are. Yes.
So you don't have a permitting right of just saying, okay, the first come, first serve, whoever files their petition in first gets the visibility?
I don't think we can legally do that. Exclude some over others on a first come, first serve basis.
Okay. That's the only thing I was trying to figure out in there.
It's
I couldn't
the public
find
way.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second floor signs, I wasn't quite sure because it said it amended to remove the restriction for wall signs, and it said something about second floor. Oh, cannot be located above the first floor. I guess the word doesn't say use the second floor. It just says higher than the rooftop. Is that sufficient in there?
Or the ordinance.
Something?
Yeah, I'll double check the specific language, but the ordinance incorporates language that allows second floor signs.
Okay, I just because.
And awnings and canopies and projecting
gotcha.
Signs and wall signs.
Yes, but somehow I couldn't see second floor specifically. So, and I did see the thing that says higher, or the statement that said higher than rooftop. So I assume that that's what you were referring to. That.
No, signs have to be. They can't be located above the roof line.
Right.
They've got to be on the wall, or they need
right.
to be projecting
right.
from the wall, or on an awning or canopy mounted to the wall.
Right. Okay.
They're not allowed above the roof line.
Thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can follow up on that awning, I was surprised to see that we're allowing second floor awnings. I can't really visualize a case in town where it would even be needed or look appropriate, or second floor businesses typically don't have anything in their window advertising, so if there's anything that's light sensitive, they would move it back from the window. But was there any thought went into that in terms of who in particular might want a second floor awning?
It's my understanding from the conversation that was a committee of the whole directive from
yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Well, the fact that I can't visualize it, and maybe if we get one that proves that it was not a good idea. This is an update of the ordinance that's well needed, been needed for quite a while, and I think it's a great idea. And, of course, any given council meeting can amend any part of it. So if we find there's a gotcha in here, it's not as if it's cast in stone. It's not. So I would certainly going to vote for it. I have one extra question, which I guess I would have to direct maybe to a legal beagle on the council or on the dais, maybe Ms. Dawkins. This is the first ordinance I've seen at the federal, state, or city level that includes schematic diagrams. How does the legal profession handle a schematic diagram? Is it considered to be a sense of the council, or what is it? Words are the tools of lawyers, not schematic diagrams. I deal in them, but
I can respond to that. I would say that most attorneys that I've worked with over the years have an aversion to diagrams.
I'd
much rather use words.
Few people can read blueprints, let alone schematic diagrams.
But the way the ordinance has been prepared and modified over the many months we've been doing this, the words identify the regulations. The illustrations reinforce the words.
And it's carefully worded so the illustration is only an illustration and the words take precedence.
Yes, correct.
And that would be understood by the legal profession, you assume, Ms. Dawkins?
And Attorney Radovich has been all over this document many times.
Well, I think it's actually a step in the right direction in the modern digital world where it's easy to include documents and schematics in digital copy. I think it's an interesting direction we're going in, but as I say, we may be one of the first who are starting to incorporate in city ordinances actual schematic diagrams. So I applaud that, and I'm certainly vote for this. Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, Dick and David, thank you for all the time you spent on this and listening to the business people, the residents, and the committee. This final draft is pretty much exactly what we asked for last week, exactly as different people had asked for, so thank you for that. And I feel like it is more business friendly and that I'm all for the A-frame signs. But just when Sam was talking about festivals, that is my concern, because besides being business friendly, we do have to be pedestrian friendly. And right now they're not
legal, so not everyone has them out. Now, we may see more, maybe not. But what can we do anything like around the festival, the Christmas walk, where you can't have your A-frame signs or the Swedish days, you know, when the sidewalks are already overcrowded, and to put more things in the way and all the strollers and it, I'm just wondering about the pedestrian safety, but I'm not sure if you can give someone a permit to do something and then exclude it some days of the year.
I hadn't really thought about that, but, you know, we might be able to consider something there during the official festivals, perhaps.
Right. Brunch,
although I do think that there might be some debate over that topic, because I'm sure there are some businesses that would rely on that additional signage opportunity during the festivals. The one thing that I would say is that if the council's supportive of the idea, assuming that that's this or some other version here yet to be discussed here is approved, a one-year review would give the council an opportunity to say, look, you know, during this festival we saw this kind of problem occur, mm-hmm. because of the number of A-frame signs. I'd feel better from a staff perspective if you left the door open, since we are now allowing these A-frame signs in this regulation. Let's see what evolves here, and let's not regulate a problem that we haven't seen yet. Let's focus on, you know, what's
for my husband. Okay, that's what mothers do. We plan for the worst. Okay, thank you. No, that's a reasonable accommodation. You're right. We don't even know if it's going to be a problem. So thank you. I think that your review.
Mr. Unsh, wouldn't the 5-foot requirement address that if a business is going to put a table out in front of their business to sell during sidewalk days? And they have an A-frame, they would violate the 5-foot requirement. So
well, that's right.
Plus,
but
they
if,
would be inhibiting customers, which is not going to make people happy. Right. So I don't think businesses will do this.
Well, I would think they wouldn't, but then we've seen time during festivals where the sidewalks are so packed that you would need a 10-foot wide sidewalk to accommodate the crowd. So I think we have to see what happens.
But the 5-foot requirement would come in, would it not?
The 5-foot would. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part of that.
Well, it would be. The 5-foot requirement would still stand.
Absolutely.
So if you have both a table and a sign and are violating that, we could politely ask you to get rid of one of them.
That's correct. Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You. Okay. Is that what you wanted to comment on, Helen?
I was going to make a comment on the outdoor dining.
Nice try.
Nice try. Nice try.
Good evening, everyone. I was just going to make a comment that the outdoor dining code already allows during festivals that the tables be removed. So we do have some precedent in our code if that's what the council would like. The original staff recommendation for A-frame signs that came to the Plan Commission way back did include the provision that they would not be allowed during festivals. Mm-hmm. So we were just responding to what we were hearing from everybody.
Can you clarify that, Ellen? The provision allowed for consideration of them not being allowed. It didn't automatically exclude them during festival.
Yeah,
we'd have to go.
Okay, because I agree with Mr. Runch, that will be a debate. Because I could support those shop owners who say, listen, mm-hmm. a festival, it's 80% guests to the community, and those guests aren't familiar with the side streets as much as our own residents are. Therefore, they're more than necessary. So it'd be an interesting debate to have.
Thank you, Alderman Marks.
Mary, this is probably a question for you. Looking at the insurance and bond requirements, normally when we have festivals or whatever going on in the city, we actually request $1 million bond. Isn't that normally our and here it's only $500,000.
This is what our insurance company recommended.
That's all. Okay. That's fine. That's what they
recommend. We had actually started out with $1 million, and our insurance company said half that would be.
That's fine. I wasn't sure because I know when we use it otherwise, we usually ask for $1 million. So, okay, that's fine. It was a great job. I think we finally got this where we're all comfortable with it. So I appreciate all the time staff has spent on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, wait. I have a question.
You're just
going
to get a lot
Sorry.
Of
money.
He doesn't have to raise his hand.
Sorry. Almost everyone is comfortable.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
May I?
Okay, fire away.
I need some clarification
I didn't
here.
See his hand.
We're going to be voting on this presently at this point in time. And is this still considered to be, in a sense, in a draft form?
Well, it's a draft and it's not approved, but it is the recommended ordinance that's gone through Plan Commission public hearings, and it's okay. Before the Committee of the Whole for consideration.
Now, there was a recommendation that you had indicated earlier regarding this as a trial basis. Is that going to be incorporated into this process at this point?
We can do it as a matter of record or put it in the ordinance, the action ordinance on the matter. But we've done this with other zoning amendments that we've done, and we just incorporate a one-year performance review. It's not a trial. It's important to note. It's not
yes.
a trial.
Right.
It's a one-year performance review of an ordinance that's being adopted by the
okay.
council.
That's the clarification I needed, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could add to that, it's also not a sunset clause, whereas the ordinance or a part thereof will not go away. The ordinance will stay in effect, and staff will come back. It could be part of your motion if you so desire. It doesn't need to be.
All right.
We will just put it in our tickle file and come back with a report from the date of formal approval. That formal approval theoretically would be next Monday, because this is a recommendation, and then it would be approved formally next week, and then a year from now the staff will just come back. So
very good, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I ask my question
now? It's your turn.
Okay, so almost everybody is comfortable. Second floor signs, I'm not sure I understood Alderman Brown's questions about who would want second floor awnings. I think more to the point, my question is, does this change allow second floor awnings?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
So as I consider the streetscape, I could conceivably see double-decker awnings, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to just comment to you that most of, if not all, of the buildings that we have downtown have... if they have a storefront type window, they either had or now have an awning type of sign because of the amount of glass area on the storefront. Most of the second story consists of double hung windows that would be typical of with our 1920s vintage architecture we have along along State Street in particular. They're just kind of common, 30, 36, 48-inch windows. And so they're not storefronts. So you could have individual canopies out there with signage on those canopies. Some of the newer buildings that we've done downtown have larger windows on the second floor, and we've had businesses that have actually displayed pretty aggressively second floor merchandise. And with merchandise in those windows, maybe awnings would be appropriate just to keep the sun down. So it's one of those things that I don't think would be used extensively, honestly, from what I'm understanding here, the discussion was about. But It's another opportunity, another vehicle that can be used.
Right, but see, I wasn't concerned about how extensively it would be used. I was concerned with how stupid it would look if it were used widely.
Just think of any building that has second floor windows that would be smaller, typically smaller windows, and they'd be individual awnings on the windows.
Right, I understand. And when I picture that, I don't see the same streetscape that I see now. So I'm troubled.
Maybe
personally,
yeah.
I'm troubled by the second floor awnings. Second floor sign is one thing. The second floor awning I view as completely different. So that I understand that we were trying to
get just don't remember the awning situation coming into the second floor, I guess, from the last meeting. I don't know why I don't
It didn't.
Remember
it was
that.
Signs. And now we have, the way this is written, it could be second floor awnings.
Yeah, I actually raised the issue of awnings myself. That if
on
someone
the second
showed,
floor?
Exactly.
Huh?
That
yeah.
they want to put a signage on an awning, they could do so. And if you walk down State Street now, particularly that block between 3rd and 4th on the south side,
right.
that is ripe. because there's already signage in the window. In fact, the block between second and third is as well. Right. So
there's no reason for an awning there because the sun never shines.
Then,
unless the awning serves as an appropriate marketing tool, exactly, right. Which we would permit. Right.
This was simply another opportunity for how we can sure. provide some flexibility in terms of how the signage is applied to the building. And, in my experience here, I can tell you that I'm not going to have a lineup of people at the building permit counter asking for awning signs on second-story spaces. I don't think that's going to be an overwhelming
thing. Then it wouldn't cause any harm to exclude it from the ordinance.
Well, it's the council's choice. Yep, absolutely.
Nobody would be hurt by it, and it's an extra safeguard against something. That's just my take on it. The second thing that came up in our discussion last week was this business of window signs and interior and exterior and things like that. And as I recall the conversation, we were looking for change that would allow some flexibility to nonprofits and pretty much limiting it to nonprofits. I don't view the change that we have today as having such limitation. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's broadly. It's everything.
So I will ask the committee to recall the discussion last week, and do we want to limit it to nonprofits?
I thought we were told that we can't limit it. It's either all or nothing.
I thought we couldn't pick a segment.
Yes, mm-hmm. a segment.
No, it was our objective to be content neutral.
That's it. That was
that's an objective, not a law. It can be our objective as far as window signs to be selective.
Well, is that a problem?
Excuse me?
Is that a problem?
I don't know. The way it's written right now, we allow the windows on the interior or the signs on the interior or exterior of the window. We are also changing to allow them for the duration of an event. Yeah. An event for a not-for-profit is something like, oh, here's this exhibit or here's this person coming to talk. An event for a store could be here's a shoe sale that's going to go on for 11 and a half months. I think that is a different purpose. That's not what we're attempting to accomplish.
I think that violates some other part of the ordinance.
Well, I was just going to say we've got temporary sign provisions. Right. Help me out here, David. Right. The temporary sign provisions.
Sales and things are right. limited.
Twice a year.
Right. For 14 days.
Right, but with this other one, then I don't need to go with the temporary signs.
We do have language, though, that makes a distinction between temporary signs and temporary window signs and permanent window signs.
I understand. So, but what is a sign for an event for a profit-making
for-profit
entity?
That's called business is open, I believe.
Exactly.
And permanent window signs.
Brown gets where I'm heading.
what I want to mention here is the permanent window signs would be debited against the allowable square footage, whereas temporary window signs would not. So there's a controlling element there.
And they're allowed 100% coverage on the inside of the window.
I don't believe that.
I thought it was 50%.
50%.
50%. Either one.
Inside or out?
Yeah. Either one.
Either way.
50%.
Of total window coverage, not on specific windows. A window can take, a business can take an individual window and cover it 100% on the inside.
Right.
Question, Dick. You just mentioned something about permanent sign is available on those windows. Let's say a shoe sale, all shoes off 15% year round. Is that qualified to be?
Could be permanent on there, but it on the window could yes. be placed permanently, yes. but it would be debited against the total sign area, the 40 okay. square foot maximum.
I see. So one that's just temporary for the month of December
right.
is.
We suspect that merchants would be protective of their window space
yes.
and would not
sure.
want to cover it up year-round permanently.
Okay.
And wouldn't want to keep a sign that says the same thing for
right.
you.
Right.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Okay. So I was up here scrambling around trying to find the wording in the packet, but I'll just ask the council. Do they view the change as worded as being consistent with our intent from last week? Alderman Marks, you're looking for...
Well, I was under the same impression as you, that we wanted to kind of limit it to more the nonprofits, but I know the discussion did come up that we didn't know if we could be that selective. I don't remember that answer.
Okay. And your recollection, Alderman Brown?
I don't remember if we ever...
I didn't hear
remember
that.
Being, I remember the conversation, but how...
I don't remember how out. We finally...
The, right.
The argument,
when I
believe...
When I read the packet, I was thinking it was exactly our laundry list that we asked for.
I think the argument circled around the question of whether these new kind of signs, which basically adhere to the outside of the window, are any different than a sign that's on the inside of the window. And why are we trying to treat them differently? Mm-hmm. It's not as if the rain destroys them and they look ugly. These new kinds of signs that the people at the History Center have found and are using, there's really no difference between the inside of the window and the outside. And why are we trying to attempt to make a difference? We should be treating them the same way we do as the signs on the inside of a window.
We just
added that was the argument. These are a new product.
Right. And that argument extended to nonprofits or to extend for every business along or every
well,
business.
Well, I don't think we actually addressed that, but I don't think anyone was necessarily spoke against them being for every business.
The one point that I would make on this, picking between businesses and not-for-profits, this issue of content neutrality is laced through our discussions of the sign regulations continuously. Now, I haven't personally discussed with Attorney Radovich the content neutrality issue as it relates to this distinction, but I can almost hear the words coming out of his mouth. You know, how could you make the distinction for one and not for the other? What would be the basis for that distinction?
The words coming out of his mouth, Craig's in trouble again.
Well,
I got it. All right, so those are my two main points. I am especially troubled by the possibility of the second floor awning signs, and I personally would like to see that addressed in a different way. I think that's not what we were heading towards in our last discussion, and so... Yes,
I would also agree with that. I don't know if that helps.
If it were the pleasure of the committee, we could certainly make that adjustment.
Okay. I would like to see that.
Mr. Chairman?
What the committee's question is.
When I first brought the subject up, it was in the back of my mind that should I offer an amendment, and I decided not to and instead make the point that this ordinance can be changed at any time. We do not have to wait for the one-year review. If it's clear to the council that this was a mistake, we might end up with one or two grandfathered, but we can certainly undo the damage that's done instantly at any point.
Or we could make the amendment and close it off now.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that I can think of all cases. There may be some where it's quite reasonable. There are some buildings that are set back from the street, and hence the second floor awning would not look particularly burdensome. We have in our mind this one block between 2nd and 3rd Street on State where all the storefronts are at the property line all the way up to the second floor, and how would those look? But there are lots of instances where buildings are somewhat set back on 3rd Street, on other blocks of State Street, and I'm not sure that it makes sense. I'm not ready to ask for an amendment to outlaw them until maybe I've seen one or two gotchas, in which case we can come back to the council and, except probably having to grandfather our mistake, we can undo the gotcha.
It would be an annual permitting process, so it would only be authorized for 1 year at a time.
Yeah. Alderman Hill?
Are any of us here involved with any business downtown that has a second story on it?
We don't see
so
anything.
Do we suspect that somebody might take advantage of it and paint it red, white, and blue and make it ugly in every other window downtown? I don't think we have to worry about that.
But see, if that's the case,
so I'd like to see that. I'd like to see it to allow it as has been proposed, and in 1 year, or in the meantime, if we see a cacophony of crazy colors or wording, then make the change. But I think we ought to allow the business owners and the property owners an opportunity to do what would be appropriate. We provide a lot of freedom in this new ordinance, and I don't see why we have to restrict this particular location for any business owner to do what he thinks or she thinks is appropriate. And if we deem it inappropriate, we'll take action in a year. Thank you.
I will remind you that we can't ask the city attorney. He has a second floor office on State Street.
Well, the intent of a current business owner is not my concern. The possibility of what could happen if we allow this is one concern. The possibility that we act or react in an inconsistent fashion is another concern that I have. It's like I'm hearing, I'll know it's ugly when I see it. I'm not into that. I don't think, given that we've invested millions of dollars in our streetscape, that it makes sense. And if there are no businesses who are inclined to do it, then what the heck is wrong with closing it off now? What we're saying instead is leave it open now so that after you do it and I find it to be a problem, then I can really piss you off and tell you to get rid of it. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I'll just vote against it. And if we don't get an amendment, that's fine. It's okay. We've been beating this thing.
Chairman of this committee.
Excuse me?
Well, I was just going to say, and I'll support that amendment because I don't think it would be fair in a year after somebody invested hundreds or whatever in awning costs and say we've decided that's not going to work for us. We had the discussion a year ago. We thought we'd let it fly.
Right. Exactly.
But I like to get things hammered out before they're a problem.
But keep in mind to the chair and to Alderman Vogelsberg, and Mary and I were discussing this offline, it's a one-year permitting process. So to Mr. Brown's point, this council or future councils always have that option to reconsider. And the sign or the awning does not become a legal nonconforming use. It becomes an illegal use, and it has to come down.
I guess that's what I'm saying. I already sense people are hesitant, and let's maybe try it. And a year from now, anybody who is hesitant will pull the plug. So let's just pull the plug now so no one invests the money in the
I think that what you proposed is somewhat it puts us then in an antagonistic position with regard to the business. If we close it off now, especially when we think already there are no businesses likely to want to take advantage of it now, we avoid the antagonism altogether. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, wait till the end.
I was going to ask for the amendment.
Well, I would argue.
I ask one question? Sir. If we go for the other side of the coin and take it out of the current ordinance, is it then possible that a person could come forward and ask for a variance?
Yeah.
And if they did, it may be approved. If not, the council would then be under notice
right
that
now,
somebody
as
wants
the ordinance
us
is structured, the a change in the type of sign allowed that's otherwise disallowed would not be ineligible.
I want to put an awning on my second floor window, which is set back 20 feet from the street, so I don't think it's going to be ugly and recessive.
Right now, the way the ordinance is worded, that's not a relief item.
It's not allowed variance.
We would not be able to request that relief to just put the awning up on the side where it's otherwise prohibited. Are not allowed.
You would not be allowed to ask for variance in that question.
The way it's currently
then what
drafted.
You would do, of course, was come to the council and say, I think you made a mistake. Would you please amend the ordinance?
Correct.
So that would be the other side of this coin. If we outlaw it now.
But that's a dangerous side of the coin.
Yeah.
Because then we find, in my humble opinion, we find ourselves buffeted by the winds of perhaps a small minority or perhaps just the loudest voice of that small minority. My position is this. Second floor office space, second floor residential space is becoming increasingly more valuable in downtown Geneva. It's usually at a lower square footage rate. If I'm going to market it as a commercial real estate agent, I want to know in advance what sort of opportunities do these landlords have in terms of marketing their service, marketing their product, what have you. Why would I rent a second floor space if I have no option to advertise what I'm doing other than, yeah, I think we could all agree, sometimes funky indoor signage, whether it be a flashing open sign or, you know, a guy pouring coffee or whatever the heck it is. But an awning at least provides the opportunity for the community and the council, the plan commission, and others to structure a look. So, and let's face it, my guess is the first person to ask for an awning, and I think it would be a huge benefit to the organization, would be the Chamber of Commerce. Because right now they have one over the street. But, hey, if they're going to stay where they are, all the more benefit to them so that when people come down, they see it.
Place to hide in the rain.
Indeed it is.
An umbrella that high isn't going to help you from the rain. All right.
Mr.
So
Chairman.
We beat that one to death. I respectfully disagree with Mayor Burns on that one. Alderman Hill.
I just want to, I'm in favor of giving the downtown business building owners the freedom to do what they want in that awning discussion. And if we find that we are having a problem, that we can come in and make that correction in 1 year. I don't think that'll be necessary. So I'm all for freedom.
Give you or give you death.
If we go this route, the only thing I hope is that people realize that this is only a one-year permit, and we may decide in a year that those awnings have to come down. And I don't want to hear everybody coming back and saying, well, I spent thousands of dollars on this, and now you're going to yank it. That's my concern, and that's why I'd rather nip it. I mean, if we're going to, if it's a one-year permit, and people who especially put on the second store any type of awning or sign, we better make sure are well aware that it is only a one-year permit and that the council is going to look at it again, and we may change our mind because based upon this discussion, there's a good possibility of it, I think.
Point of clarification?
Yes, sir.
We've been talking about 1 year and permits and performance reviews, and just to be clear, we're talking about a one-year performance review
right.
across the board on all of these sign provisions. That's not a one-year permit, though.
Okay.
The one-year permit would apply to the sandwich board signs only.
Wow.
All the other signs would be permitted through the permit process, and they're good to go once they're permitted.
In perpetuity.
But then there would be the ability to revisit any and all provisions within the code as a part of the one-year performance review.
Alderman Flan.
And to that, Mr. Unchwood, so what you're saying is once someone has the awning up on the second floor, if that scenario happens, and then we decide somewhere along our performance review, whether it's next year, 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, do they get grandfathered in and kept intact until some other proprietor comes in and
Yeah, that's the pleasure. That question is answered. It's really the pleasure of the council. You know, you can choose to, if you were going to come back in a year and modify the regulations
right.
and not allow them, you could choose to require the immediate removal. You could choose to amortize them and allow them for a period of time. You could allow them as a nonconforming part of the facade. You could allow them indefinitely, and they just can't change it or alter it or... You know,
right.
There are different approaches you can take to that.
In the past, we grandfathered.
Right.
When we first amended the,
well,
first
we would
adopted
say if
the sign ordinance.
If another sign was needed because of the resident, I mean, of the change in business, then we would not allow it.
Yeah, that would be another way to draw a line in the sand. Yeah. You can basically structure that a number of different ways.
Yeah, because I'm just concerned that, you know, the factor of allowing and then all of a sudden, you know, pulling the rug on from underneath the person saying, okay, well, you know, oh, sorry, we changed our mind.
You would want to get into that discussion when you change the ordinance a year later.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Singh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the proprietor of the business the owner of the awning that's going to be placed there on the second floor?
That just depends. I mean, it could be the business owner that puts it up, that applies for it with the owner's consent, or it could be the owner's awning. It could be a variety of things.
If the business owner decides to move to another location, who is responsible for removing that awning?
Probably the property owner.
Property owner.
Mm-hmm. We just like right now, when you have a sign on a building and a business is there and the business moves,
mm-hmm.
that sign's required to be removed. So the same would apply to awnings with signage on them.
Thank you.
Okay. I think before we take a vote on this, I'll invite any members of the audience if they would like to speak to the issue. Mr. Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Don't yell at me.
Our token businessman.
You can't make demands like that from the chair.
I'm Mike Simon, 614 Easton. One thing to consider when it comes to awnings, since we have awnings at our stores and have for many years, is mainly they serve a practical purpose. And certainly people want to put them up for decorative purposes, but they keep merchandise from fading in the windows. The person who brought up the discussion a couple weeks ago was Joe Stanton. And Joe has some of the retail space on State Street that is conducive to awnings. It would probably limit what he could do if he was to try to rent to somebody who needed to put merchandise in their windows but couldn't have an awning. I own the old Hotel Geneva building, and I can show you historical pictures of that building where every window on the second and third floor had awnings. And that was not for decoration. It was strictly to keep the sun out of the windows. So don't look at it just as decoration. It does have another purpose, which is probably its primary purpose in many cases. One question for Dick. You'd mentioned that $60 will be the renewal fee for the signs.
The annual sign.
Yeah. What about the initial fee? Will that be $60 as well?
Will that initial for that partial year? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Or just for sandwich boards.
Sandwich board is a $60 sign permit.
Okay.
That's what we've done that fee for all signs, so we're just extending it to the sandwich boards.
Fair enough. As if we haven't talked about this long enough, I do have a few things to say. And I think I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because I had emailed Justin a few slides this afternoon. He said he'd put them up, but I don't see them there. Oh, wait a minute, Simon, that's me. Okay, cool. Thanks, David.
Those are actually baby pictures, Mike. So
nobody's going to want to see those. Okay. First, my thanks also to Dick and David and the staff for all the work they did and all the time they took to listen and address the concerns of the business community. Where we start out and where we end up are very different places, and I think everything you've done is to everybody's advantage. So thank you very much. I was confused when I left the Cal meeting 2 weeks ago. Many ideas were brought up, and the sandwich board issue was discussed at length, but one important issue, that of the elimination of the commercial sign committee, was left hanging. I no longer have a horse in this race. The wayfinding sign variance I asked for on the side of All Chocolate Kitchen was approved, but I'm here as a matter of principle because I feel the sign committee gives an important voice to the business community, and that voice will be silenced under the proposed ordinance. And I use my recent experience with the sign committee as the example to support the case.
Give it a chuck.
In the case of the sign I asked for, this is what I wanted. And let's see if we can move this to the left. Yeah. And this is what the ordinance allowed. Do I just push enter? Oh, I see. Cool. I can do that. Not much difference. City staff, upon receiving my petition for a variance, recommended against it. They didn't ask me why I wanted a variance. In fact, they didn't communicate with me at all before the September meeting, and I didn't know until I arrived they were recommending that my variance be denied. I would have hoped that someone would have said, why the heck is this guy going to all this trouble for an extra 40 inches of sign? If they had asked, I would have told them that I was designing a sign that would not only meet the needs of current tenants, but would serve additional tenants who may take over smaller spaces in the future as we subdivide current storefronts. As an example, All Chocolate Kitchen takes up 2 storefronts, Nosh takes up 3 storefronts, and the former Woolen Company can be divided into 3 storefronts. My proposed sign had enough room for everyone now and in the future. City staff response to my proposal was to recommend elimination of the signage for All Chocolate Kitchen, since it already has a sign, reduce the size of the sign allotted to Nosh, and eliminate one of the blank spaces since it was not currently needed. These 3 changes would have brought my sign into conformity with code. They didn't consider that my primary reason for requesting the sign was to give directions to Nosh and Beauty by Sylvie, who are tucked away on James Street and not visible to 3rd Street pedestrians. They didn't consider the current tenants will inevitably change in the future, and what are now large spaces may be taken up by more smaller tenants, thereby necessitating additional signage. They didn't ask me why I requested the variance, but simply recommended against it. It was a very black and white issue. When I appeared before the sign committee, the business members asked me the relevant questions and understood my needs. We quickly came to a compromise solution, which allowed the width of my proposed sign to remain, but the height of each panel would be reduced by half inch, which is this. Under the proposed revision to the sign ordinance, if the sign committee is eliminated, variance requests will be heard by the plan commission. This type of hearing puts a citizen in a very different position than a hearing before the sign committee. The new system would put a business person in an adversarial position, having to defend against the city staff recommendation. None of the plan commissioners are business people, and though they conduct hearings regularly, they cannot look at this kind of situation through a business person's eyes. Under the sign committee, recommendations are heard by people who understand business needs and then reviewed by the council, as happened in my situation. There have been many arguments presented against continuation of the sign committee. I'd like to go over each one. Number one, the sign committee has had very little activity over the past 5 years, reviewing less than one petition per year. Unfortunately, there's been little business expansion recently. In the past, the committee was quite active. Lack of activity by committee, in my opinion, is no reason to discontinue it if it serves a useful purpose when it is operating. Number two, the model of a committee including three aldermen was replaced by the COW several years ago. Though that is true, the committee as it stands gives aldermen a firsthand look at the decision process used by the business community and allows them to advise their peers on the council with more insight than if they were presented with a staff recommendation or one from the plan commission. Aldermen Singer, Hill, and Flanagan presently serve on the sign committee and hopefully saw the value of it in the meeting held on my behalf in September. The city newsletter just last week included the following. How does a Geneva resident get appointed to a city committee or commission? The Geneva Municipal Code empowers the City Council to form boards, committees, and commissions to assist the City Council in legislating and managing the affairs of the city. Currently, there are 10 permanently appointed committees and commissions: Plan Commission, Historic Preservation, Strategic Plan Advisory Commission, Zoning Board of Appeals, Commercial Sign Committee, Fire and Police Commission, Mental Health Board, Cultural Arts Commission, Economic Development Commission, and Public Building Commission. If you don't want to keep the sign committee in its current form, then make it an advisory committee comprised of business people and citizens, but don't eliminate it because it does serve a very useful purpose. Number three, find business people to serve on the plan commission. This is more easily said than done. It's no coincidence that business people do not often serve on the city council or plan commission. You all get phone calls and letters when a constituent disagrees with you. Business people are afraid of losing business as a result of their votes, for customers let us know with their wallets when they disagree with the position we take. The two former aldermen who are business people, Jim Riley and Weldon Johnson, both of whom served many years ago, experienced this more than they would have imagined and probably told many of you about this. Number four, having business people recommend in favor of other business people is an inherent conflict of interest. I would say just the opposite. We're being judged by a jury of our peers, and what could be more representative than that? Number five, the sign committee doesn't have active business people on it. The three business members of the sign committee are not traditional business people, but they are members of the business community. The Chamber of Commerce, which traditionally recommends members, was told 2 years ago the sign committee was going to be disbanded under the new sign ordinance, so appointing new members was not a priority. I can assure you that if the committee is retained, there will be no shortage of business people willing and able to serve and help their fellow businesses. And number six, most recent sign committee meetings were held illegally, for notes were not taken. There were three city staff members in attendance at the September meeting, and I didn't notice whether notes were taken or not. It's staff's responsibility to take the notes at these meetings, and the allegation that this did not occur in the past is not something that I, as a petitioner, should be penalized for. The sign that I originally asked for, this guy, was 3.4 feet above what was allowed. I don't think it would have been objectionable. The compromise is 1.7 feet above what is allowed. Sign variances are not black and white issues. The proposal to eliminate the sign committee would make them so. We, the business community, need a mechanism to find the gray between the black and white. The sign committee provides us that opportunity. Thank you.
I have a couple comments to make, if I may. First and foremost, I can count at least four, perhaps five, members of the City Council who are business people and business owners: Mr. Dantino, Mr. Piper, Ms. Flanagan, Ms. Vogelsberg, Mr. Marks. Secondly, on the Plan Commission, I'm looking at that list. There are four members of the Plan Commission who are business people. And to use Mr. Simon's words, granted they are not traditional business people, but they are business people indeed. So I would agree with you, Mike, they are. Secondly, I'm concerned that perhaps this position is being couched in terms of the us versus them. And there is no us versus them. The fact of the matter is, and I forgive me for this delay, but I want to cite some statistics for the benefit of the committee who are present this evening. In the past 5 years, 446 sign permits have been issued. Only four have gone through the sign committee. This is an unnecessary, it is not an indictment on the good people who serve, but it is an unnecessary additional layer of local government, pure and simple. And I've said this to people before, over the weekend and last week and perhaps at last week's meeting. If the members of the Plan Commission, the members of the City Council are not well-versed in business, it is their responsibility to become well-versed in business. The Chamber of Commerce mission is to make us well-versed in business, whether it be industrial, eclectic retail, independent retail, national, regional, whatever. And then we have that responsibility to vote accordingly. The sign committee, the men and women who serve on that, who have served on that, and I served on that, are good-intentioned, well-respected, hard-working people. But I could argue, and I think I would be right, that if we surveyed the community today and we asked them, would you like to limit the role of government just one more step and make it more efficient and effective without abrogating the responsibility or the opportunity for business people to have their voice heard, yay or nay, people would say yay, I think. So that's my position. Again, to Mr. Simon's point, you're right, there are significant gray areas, absolutely. But the sign committee alone does not provide that gray tone or hue. The Plan Commission does it every month. The committee of the whole, we saw tonight with respect to the debate on the sign committee, does it, gosh, almost every week. What I unfortunately may have heard tonight was, it's all the staff's fault. And it's not. It never is. What staff's responsibility is and always will be is to enforce the code that all of us said enforce. The problems become when we get involved and say, gosh, staff, find a creative way to do this. I'm guilty of it. I think we all are, but our intentions are pure. So staff can't be blamed, nor can this albatross be hung around staff's neck and say, aha, it's all your fault. Somehow staff is driving the train. We're driving the train. All of us are driving the train. So the sign committee, they've done good work. They are respected. They are appreciated. But like all good things, it must come to an end. And we will make that thing even better by allowing the Plan Commission to absorb the responsibilities.
May I make one comment, Mr. Chairman? Well, I agree with most of what Mike has said and most of what the mayor said. I must make one point, which I think I've seen over the years. And that is, unfortunately, the Plan Commission is not a typical city commission. Politics is the art of compromise. Unfortunately, the Plan Commission is organized in a legal way, not in a dialogue way. You cannot have a dialogue with the Plan Commission because of its present organization, which I understand why it exists. And I agree with Mike that most of the creative solutions in the city and problems that I've seen over the years have come from dialogue. You can dialogue with the staff. You have to go to the Plan Commission. Unfortunately, that's a monologue the way it's set up. I would recommend in the future that all business people realize that if for some reason they disagree with the Plan Commission, the COW meeting is your opportunity to dialogue with the Council on Creative Solutions, because I don't want us to ever close out the possibility. And unfortunately, the Plan Commission is just different from all other city commissions. It's set up in a way that just does not allow creative dialogue. I don't fault them at all. They're doing what they have to do. And I think both the staff do a reasonably good job on this, very good job in most instances, and the COW has to remember that dialogue on some of these situations that appear to be different, out of the normal, asking for variances, that's something we have to be open to, and we have to allow people like Mr. Simon to come up and present their ideas to us, even though they may disagree with ordinance, because it isn't going to happen at the Plan Commission meeting, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
I would also encourage the committee to remember that when a variance is requested or a new sign, if we want to blend the two, is requested within the historic district, it also involves review by the Historic Preservation Commission. So by design, certainly, and we are all responsible for this, there are a number of layers involved. Our charge seems to have been in the last few years, how do we make this community a more business-friendly community? It certainly ain't maintaining another layer of review simply because we've always had that layer of review. I believe it's broken. I believe the best way to fix it is to, again, allow the Plan Commission to absorb that role. And I think that in due course, perhaps in the next 2 months, we will see how efficient this actually can be. So now keep in mind, Mr. Runch, you stated phasing out of the sign committee. In fact, the sign committee would, in essence, be eliminated upon execution and agreement of this ordinance. So there is no phasing out.
It was phasing out over a few years.
Yeah, just so you, I mean, there's not a, we'll wait till May, or it's, yeah, yeah, so.
Mr. Mayor, if I may ask a question.
Go ahead. I'll leave to Alderman Flanagan.
I mean, either way, I can understand the difficulty that the Planning Commission will have to make a political kind of decision or to work as a compromise, because I don't know if they can do that. Hopefully they can. But my question comes with, what is the Zoning Board of Appeals? Isn't the Zoning Board of Appeals another committee, so to say? And
if you'd like to assure, it is indeed, it's staffed by Mr. Runch. Mr. DeGroote used to be staffed by Chuck Lencioni, but they have specific statutory requirements. And Mr. Runch, if you want to talk about that, it's not necessarily a creation of the city per se.
Okay.
But
I was just wondering how that
you could choose to have sign variation requests considered by the Zoning Board of Appeals.
That's what I was wondering. I thought that's how you were going to.
That's an option. The reason why we've done it with the Plan Commission and why we've proposed it on a staff level and we've had all this discussion on this proposal is because the Plan Commission finds itself in situations where it's reviewing development plans on projects, and the signs are part of the development plans. So why plug the Zoning Board of Appeals in as in another element of that plan review when the Plan Commission is meeting and conducting hearings and can consider the sign relief when they're considering the other plans?
And
it's just another way of taking one step out of the process of a sign variation having to go to the ZBA, and if it's in a historic district, the Historic Preservation Commission, and then the Plan Commission. So, you know, we're trying to
I understand the logic. And when you when you first proposed that the sign committee was, I mean, the sign ordinance was going to be put into the zoning, my next thought was, oh, well, I guess it's going to be part of the, you know, the Zoning Board of Appeals. And then all of a sudden I read that it was the Planning Commission, right. So it made a little bit of illogical sense to me. But then, you know, I can understand that the Planning Commission is going to be, would be working on signs if we had a lot of new development, because that's what they used to do. But I don't know how much new development we're going to be doing so that the Planning Commission would be that involved. I don't know how much new development. That's the only thing.
That'll be a better
day. We would hope, right? Exactly.
Now, Mrs. DeVita?
Yes.
Why don't you sit up front?
I still have a comment,
Mr. Chairman.
I think this is related to what we're discussing. Go ahead.
I was just going to make the comment. The other distinction is if the signs were reviewed by the ZBA, the only recourse, if the petitioner did not get an answer they like, would be to go through the court system.
Thank you for clarifying that.
It comes through the Plan Commission.
Yes, I was wondering what was
counsel.
The...
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr.
Were you...
He deferred to Dorothy.
Yeah, well, I've been a member of the Sign Commission and the Commercial Sign Committee, and we have had very few meetings. I was amazed myself when we discovered that minutes were not taken and recorded. And apparently we three aldermen didn't realize that that was our responsibility. We just did figure that it was a staff responsibility, and it didn't occur. That's unfortunate. But what we experienced, what I've experienced in the several years that I've been on that committee, is an opportunity to sit down with the local business owners to discuss in detail. Just this last meeting with Mr. Simon, his initial request was turned down, as he reported, and I'm sure substantiated by Dave DeGroot. But I think all we did was reduce it by about an inch in width. Isn't that the dimension inches. That you mentioned, Mike, or something like that?
4 inches.
4 inches, yeah.
Yeah.
And that really came down to the size that was, as I believe, permissible by the ordinance. Am I right there?
No.
Or did we get a little bit over?
It was still over by about a foot and a half.
A little over by a foot and a half. It didn't seem to be... You know, we did reduce it. We came to a negotiated agreement, and it seemed to work out very well. And I can't remember the past decisions that were made, but those seemed to be okay and never came back to haunt us. We don't know what they were, so we can't find out, and that's unfortunate.
Well, and I probably misspoke last week. Not in terms of accuracy, but in perhaps in terms of allegation. But the reality is, as sworn officers, elected representatives, we have a right, we have an obligation to know what the laws are. And if we attend a meeting where minutes aren't being taken, or perhaps we suspect that something's not right, we should either, A, remove ourselves. And we've all experienced that. When I've gone to a meeting before and there's been three aldermen, somebody has to leave. We just know that it's a violation of the Open Meetings Act. And it's a tough gig. We should not necessarily rely on staff, although I will admit, you're always smarter than me. But sometimes we have to also understand that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Mm-hmm. And we're held to a higher standard.
Right.
That's tough. Well, that's a tough gig.
Yeah, I agree.
And the Plan Commission is run apolitically by design, because we've caught ourselves in very unsettling circumstances before when we used to play politics at the Plan Commission level. And now, as you know, the meetings are recorded, and the meetings are structured in such a way that's very formal, so that we're not out on a limb finding ourselves in court because of statements made or what have you. Nothing prevents a Plan Commission member or a committee of the whole or a council member from visiting independently with a business person. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. In fact, most Plan Commission members, I know one, for instance, Mr. Moffitt, who visits every site prior to consideration every time. I mean, it's extraordinary the amount of time the gentleman has. As a good commissioner, you should, in fact, do that. What I don't want to see, and this is, again, I'm not being disparaging to anybody, what I don't want to see is a group of men and women whose interests are pure, but sometimes are compromised simply because of a close relationship. Nobody wins in that situation. Mr. Simon referenced a couple people who are longtime business owners in town who suffered from votes they took.
Yes.
We have no further look than our dear friend Mayor Lewis. We know full well that his business was hampered. I mean, all of our lives have been impacted by the votes we've taken. We know that. I also know for a fact that there were business people involved years ago who deliberately campaigned against another business coming to town because that business would have been direct competition to their own. Why? Because I'm a dork and I used to go to these things in high school. But I remember it. And yeah, that's the way the town was run. Such is life. You know, hey, who cares? Yeah. We're bigger, we're more sophisticated, we're better than that.
That's the art of politics. Well, it's going to be interesting.
It's the bane of politics as well.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the Plan Commission handles the request from business owners when they want to have a variance from the sign that they propose that has been rejected by the staff, according to the ordinance. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's handled and to see if the business owner then has to resort to come to the Committee of the Whole. which that business owner has the opportunity to do.
Exactly.
Right now. So there is an avenue for the business owner to object, not, maybe not object, but to request an appeal to the decision by the Plan Commission.
Mr. Hill and Mr. Brown and I are involved currently in a case where we have advised the prospective tenant to seek a concept review before the Plan Commission.
Yes.
Because it's a safe way to go.
Sure.
That's a smart move.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I was on Plan Commission for 3 years, so possibly I am biased, but I don't want anyone to think that that's a default position or board to take a sign variance request to, because the Plan Commission deals with any PUD, all sorts of work. You know, there's a lot of compromises, and some are the signage requirements and things like that. And also, I always felt like the applicant was listened to. First of all, many of us did drive around. Jay Moffitt was a great example. He'd get out of his car, talk to the person. Then when they got there, they felt like they knew people. But there was always a dialogue. People got to present what their plan was and what their goal was and what their issues were. And, yes, there was no free talking like this. It is regimented, but you always got to say everything you wanted. You got your turn. The only difference is you just couldn't vote on your opinion like Alderman can. You had to vote by the facts presented. But I think it's a great place to go for a review because it is a mix of different people in the community, and most of them have been on a long time. They're very well-versed in a lot of things, and the staff does a lot of support with the teaching some of the concepts. But I don't think it's a bad place for people to go. I think it's a wonderful place because it's a group of non-biased people who really know what they're doing, and they have no motive. They can't vote with their heart. They have to vote with the facts. So you couldn't get a more fair process. And if you think it isn't fair, you still can come to committee hall. So I just have to say that it's a good thing.
Thank you. Well, a couple of points I wanted to just clarify. In total respect for our former building commissioner and the way he conducted his office, I know that he, the staff liaison to the Commercial Sign Committee for a number of years, and I know that in terms of the record, if you will, of the actions of that group, those have always been memorialized in Commissioner Lencioni's unique style as being incorporated into the issuing permit for that sign. And in his way of managing that group, that's the documentation. That's how he looked at it. I know that. Now, getting back to, so I just wanted to, it's not like we don't have a record, because we do have a record of the sign committee's actions, but it's reflected in a way that maybe isn't consistent with the way other commissions would be keeping their records. Secondly, I would say that the Plan Commission gets involved in compromise and creative thinking often, in my opinion, and I respect your point of view, Alderman Brown, but I see it maybe a little bit differently. The commission meetings have a more formal structure to them because of some case law that came down about 6-7 years ago, now the Clarin case in Lyle, where due process was compromised by the procedures of the Plan Commission in Lyle, in a public hearing mode. And so we do have a discipline process that maybe is more formalized, but it guarantees that everyone in the room has a right to make statements, has a right to question witnesses, has a right to rebuttal comments, and is able to have a fair opportunity to air all sides of the issues and to ask all questions and receive all answers that are available. That's the role of the commission there. The other thing it's important to note is that when the commission is in a hearing mode, and in this case they would be with a sign variation, variation requests are handled within the context of standards. The Zoning Board of Appeals has specific standards that have to be addressed by the applicant as a part of their presentation to the Zoning Board of Appeals. The Plan Commission has specific standards that each developer has to address if it's a site plan review or a planned unit development. If it's a special use, there is another set of standards that's utilized for that review. They're charged with the responsibility of having to make a finding of fact. So not only are they discussing and making a recommendation, but they're also doing a fact finding on specific standards within the ordinance. The concern that I have, and have had for some time with the Commercial Sign Committee, is that committee is meeting and considering sign relief requests that are codified sections of our zoning ordinance, or excuse me, our sign regulations, and there are no standards being applied to the reviews, have not been for some time. This action, if approved by the council, of shifting the responsibilities to the Plan Commission, puts those sign variation requests in a mode where they're going to be evaluated by the Plan Commission. The petitioner will have an opportunity to comment and explain their case and the rationale for why they are seeking the relief and why they need it. The staff will have its opportunity to comment on the application, and staff doesn't always recommend denial. We actually do recommend approval occasionally. So what this is about, it is about fair, just, disciplined discussion of a proposed variation to our laws. And without the standards, you're left with personal opinion, your perspective, your personal point of view. And with the most well-meaning of folks serving on the Commercial Sign Committee, maintaining some consistency of action from case to case to case that's reviewed, without following specific standards for that review, it ends up being sort of an amoeba that just, you know, can be a number of different things at any meeting. So getting back to this idea, like our other commissions, Plan Commission and ZBA, of having a set of standards and a fact-finding applied to each sign variation request is certainly legal. It's certainly consistent with what we've done with our other commissions. And when we're seeking relief to code requirements that other property owners are relying on us to enforce, it's the fair and just way to consider the relief.
Okay. Mrs. Mickett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to point out to everyone as well, with all due respect to our current sign committee and those who have served in the past, the sign committee is also to use standards. They are not given the freedom to use the political process without setting standards. The code says that the sign committee is to use standards to grant variances and appeals from. And those are to be used in a uniform and consistent manner from one applicant to another. I don't see that that has been the case. I have never seen anything in writing what those standards are, so I'm not sure that they are being used, and I think that that's the worry that we have, is that the rules are not being applied or perhaps not being applied consistently and uniformly. That is your legal foundation. If you receive a complaint from an applicant because you gave a variance to applicant A, but you did not to applicant B, the first question that will be asked is, what are the standards that you used? That's your legal foundation, so that we're not found arbitrary and capricious, so that we are applying our standards uniformly and consistently and fairly. So I just wanted to point that out, that whether or not those standards have been incorporated, our code does require that of the sign committee as well.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
I do know for a fact that there was a meeting, not maybe last year, where applicant A was held to the same standards, and there wasn't any variance granted. So we have done that in the past. I have sat on the sign committee, so, but I know that for a fact there was one, and it wasn't a historic district. So I do know for a fact that there was at least one that I can recall. So.
Okay.
Anyway, so for much for whatever it's worth.
Right.
Like, I guess we Alderman were brought up Roger improperly. Like
improperly. All right.
Yeah, we had a we weren't coached on those procedures. I know when I was appointed, and I don't know about the.
That's true.
My well, wait, friends.
Now, hold and, on.
So anyway, we just kept merrily along our way according to the way we're trained by the building commissioner right. at the time. And,
all right.
Here we are.
So now I get to talk. You being up here sort of is not the greatest thing because you have to bite your tongue for a long time.
But you don't have those tables down there.
We do. Well, no, just being in the chair's position. So we just had a bit of a defense of the commercial sign committee. Prior to that, we had a defense of the plan commission. And I even think I heard a sort of a defense of the committee of the whole. The facts are, folks, just take a look at the amount of discussion we've spent on this topic. The idea that we in the city, whether it be the commercial sign committee, the plan commission, or the committee of the whole, does not invest time, energy, and effort into understanding the needs of its businessmen is just absurd. Take a look at the discussions on the plan commission that went back and forth on the A-frame issue before they finally recommended that it be kicked to a special subcommittee and things like that. The plan commission doesn't just look and say, oh, they're illegal today, therefore they will be illegal tomorrow. They work there. You really can't use a whole lot of colorful language either. they work really hard to understand the needs of anybody who appears before them. The idea that coming to the committee of the whole might be a penalty because it takes time. Now, the facts are it takes time to run your business. It takes time to be a resident and a contributing member of a community. It takes time to sit on the committee of the whole, and sometimes all that's needed to get a really good outcome is time. So, folks, we can do this just fine without the commercial sign committee because we do a whole lot of other things just fine. And we will continue to do them just fine as long as people come into it with the mindset that we're here to help. Not to do whatever you say or ask for, but to help. Are we ready to vote on this?
Would you repeat
that? What was that?
He'll just play it back.
We are, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make one last point. I promise to be brief.
Yes, sir.
There's been reference made throughout this debate tonight that one reason why the Commercial Sign Committee has not met more regularly was because, gee, there's just no business development going on in Geneva. That is the furthest thing from the truth. We've all read Ellen DeVita's reports monthly. There's lots of economic development happening. There's lots percolating. We should not equate lack of meetings with lack of opportunity. So expunge that from the record, Ms. Short. Expunge. It's phonetic.
It's your motion.
All right. Do we have a motion?
Yep.
We have a motion.
Am I the motioner or is Rich?
Focus the motion.
Okay, can I amend my own motion?
Can I make a friendly motion myself?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, self. I'd like to amend that we approve it with the exception of no awnings upstairs, upper level.
Okay.
With the seconder light.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Fine with that
I'm
as well. Okay, so we're going to vote on the proposal amended to prohibit on second floor awning. Correct?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that we divide the motion. I think it's unfair to ask the council on something as important as rewriting the whole sign ordinance to discuss upper floor awnings as part of it.
Fine with me.
Have two separate motions, one on upper story awnings and the second one on the
full.
That's fine.
Port
okay,
sign
so
nice.
Since Robert and the committee is pretty informal.
Right. So we'll do the awning issue first, and then we'll do
either
the rest
as an amendment
it.
Or as a separate vote. Amendment
Let's
would be better
split
if
them.
The
That's
proposer
fine.
So chooses.
Yeah.
To make it
well,
a
I honestly, we just tried the amendment, and you created two motions. What are
well,
the
no,
two?
I said separated either as an amendment, or if the maker of the motion
would
please
do?
Suggest the second part as an amendment.
I'd be
motion.
Happy to. No, I did that already.
I think she did that already.
Oh, she did that already.
She did that.
She was trying to restate the first motion.
Can we have a
well,
reading
we split that,
of the amendment?
Fine.
Has there been an amendment made?
Yes. There, friendly amendment.
Can we have a reading of the amendment, please?
Okay, I'd like to propose that first we vote on the awnings, the acceptance of the awnings into the new code, and then the second motion
okay.
would be to accept the code.
All right. So
point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Can we have an amendment on one item, please, sir? And we'll make a decision on that one item.
That's
and
what
then
that's
we will
what
we, have an, another amendment or a motion to approve the
well,
final deal.
That's what
she just did.
That's
oh,
what
okay.
she just
but
suggested.
I heard her say two things at the same time.
We have a motion to amend to prohibit second floor awnings.
Okay,
we'll have a
fine.
Vote
let's,
on that amendment.
Good. Let's do that. Please.
Then we will come back and consider the... And the entire thing,
great.
Either with or without,
that's
right?
What it
so,
be done.
First vote.
We have a motion to amend to remove the second floor awning?
Yes, please.
By
correct,
Vogel.
Yes.
Okay.
By Vogelsberg and Marx.
So, to repeat, a vote yes is to remove the awnings
is
from
to
the code
prohibit
as it currently is presented to us.
Correct. I think. Yes, sir.
We have a speaker on the amendment.
I just want to make sure that we're clear here. We're talking about signed awning signs. Right. We're not talking about awnings. We're talking about awning signs.
Why is that?
There's a difference.
Ah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Awnings are allowed under a different portion of the city code?
There's no prohibition on awnings on second floors. We're talking about awning signs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm. Question. Mr. Runtz.
The circus has begun.
A question on your interpretation and your explanation, sir. Signed, does that mean verbiage only or hieroglyphics or cartoons
would,
or whatever? It
that
be.
Would be logos,
okay.
Lettering,
fine.
Whatever your message is placed on the awning.
Okay, fine.
Right.
Thank
okay.
you. Just to be clear.
And so, and as I said before, the only reason I'm against it is I'm afraid we'll pull it later and business owners will have
agreed.
A bunch of money invested and it won't be fair. So let's stop it now.
Agreed. Alderman Flanagan, question.
If I may ask a question. So if the awning can remain, if the applicant removes the wording from the sign. So in essence.
That's correct.
So in essence.
There's
it
nothing
makes no
that prohibits
sense.
An awning to go up there.
Right.
We're talking about awning signs here,
mm-hmm.
placing signage on the awning.
I think I hear where Alderman Flanagan's going.
Yeah.
I'm going to order an awning with a Velcro logo.
Yeah.
And if
yeah,
the council decides to.
Rip it.
Well, no, what we're doing is we're voting to prohibit second floor awning signs, to include a prohibition for second floor awning signs in the new sign ordinance. Right?
A yes would prohibit
a yes
sign
prohibit.
On an ordinance. It does not prohibit the ordinance, the awning. It prohibits the sign on the ordinance if you vote yes.
Correct. Everybody got it?
Yep. Yep.
God help us. Okay. So
I think this is a roll call.
This is a roll call.
This one's a roll call.
All right, this is a roll call.
Hey, it's
fire away.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan? Nay. Sam Hill?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Nay.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion is defeated.
Okay. Now we vote on the new sign ordinance in its entirety.
What was the final vote?
4-3.
Three yeas, four nays.
It is the majority of a quorum, so it does stand. And the off chance you're
stand.
Curious as to where I would vote nay. So.
But we weren't.
But we weren't.
I know.
Sorry. This is a very open group. We'll ask you when we want.
Part of this transparency stuff.
Okay.
Chairman Schmerman.
Sign ordinance in its entirety. Let's do roll call on this one, too, just for kicks.
Seth Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Just in case you're curious.
We're not curious.
Next item on the agenda, please.
All right. What are we going to talk about next week? Puzzled by that. All right. Moving on to new business. No policy.
I have a list of about 10 things.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Tables, you can't do it.
The only thing that I wanted to reaffirm is that we had set a policy discussion meeting for the 31st. Is everyone still amenable to that date? Do we have a quorum for that date?
I hope I will be here.
If everybody here shows up.
Okay, that's all I wanted to do on that.
With the candy on the porch.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ghosts are invited.
I've had they can vote.
And witches.
All right, any other new business? Alderman Brown.
That, I didn't.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Maladra. I would like to ask the city administrator if the reason that we could not have a city council meeting to approve the trivial item that we wanted to approve tonight is yet another item that Alderman Maladra can add to his long list of reasons why we should be a home rule community. If we were home rule, would we have been allowed to have our special meeting tonight?
No.
No?
No. The state statutes prohibit scheduling special meetings on bank holidays.
Periods.
Correct.
Even in Chicago.
Well.
Banks left, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
That is applicable. If we are able to have our meeting, our committee meeting, because it's a regularly scheduled meeting.
Even if it has nothing to do with banking.
Yeah.
Correct. Especially if it has nothing to do with banking.
Sorry, Mr. Maladra. I was hoping I could help
you.
Yeah,
one more item added to the list.
And I accept responsibility for requesting that meeting without knowledge of that statute. So, and I apologize to Ms. Fornari for her having to send out that.
We'll read them again. There'll be a quiz.
And to Mary McKittrick for doing her job.
Saved us again. All right. Do we have new business in the audience? Nope. All right.
I have other.
Oh, we got 9 more to go. I'm sorry. I did my best to get around those.
I know. I just wanted to, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to point out to everyone, as well as the audience, that we have, as has been before this council before, an Emerald Ash Borer Management Plan. We had a brochure, and we also had a tree planting program brochure. We have put that into a two-sided insert, as Alderman Hill suggested. It wasn't easy, but we found money in the budget to get these printed as inserts. So these will be going out in our next round of utility bills so that all of our utility customers will get that. We also have printed up several copies and are providing them to finance, public works, our entryway here, and reception area downstairs as well. So.
Ms. McKittrick.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Does that include my objection that, as stated, that really doesn't represent city policy today?
It is not.
The zone issue that you raised?
No, the brochure that's going to be put in the mail.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Oh, it mentions in there that each district is reviewed once every 5 years. I can see people getting very upset about that. I've got an ash tree that's about to fall down, and you're not going to come around for 5 years and look at it?
No.
That's what that memo says.
No, it does not.
No. Well, how does it not say that? That's what I read, and my wife looked at it.
We've already taken a survey of the trees in the parkways. So we've already identified where the ash trees are. Because we amended the budget most recently, we are hiring an outside contractor to come down or to come around and take those trees down.
But my ash tree in front looked very good this year when you took your survey. It's dying. It's going to be dead next year, and you're not going to come around and look at it for 5 years, according to that memo?
We're going to come around and take it down as soon as we can get there.
regardless of
how that's we not know where it's
says.
At.
It says the city's divided into five districts and they will only be addressed once every 5 years. And
no,
that is not current city policy.
It's inspected each year.
Each year.
Yeah. We
each
already
zone.
Know where they're at. We've already identified them.
Each year, one zone is inspected.
Middle of the night when you're asleep, Chuck.
It currently says here, each year, one zone is inspected,
right.
Period. So what happens to the other four zones each year?
We've already done a survey. We already know where they're at. So as...
The ones that died this fall.
And we're...
We know where every ash tree
right,
is.
We know where every ash tree is.
Oh, you know where every ash tree is.
Yes, in the survey that we've already done.
Yeah, I see. That's what that's supposed to say, that once every 5 years we redo our count to make sure it's not wrong?
Well, yes, we do a count every 5 years as well, yes.
I believe we're going to get some objections to that because we are currently not waiting 5 years to take care of this problem. And
that's
the way I read it and the way my wife, who doesn't know the details as we do, read it was, my God, you're only doing this once every 5 years?
We're actually doing it continually.
I know we are. So I hope the public understands that. If there's a tree out there that looks dangerous, we're trying to get to it, and that
yes.
is city policy.
Exactly. Right, and that was established when we amended the budget a couple of weeks ago.
Spending a lot of money to send this out, I think we end up with unforeseen consequences. You
so
get
let's
the calls, not me.
Ms. Brown, let's be clear for a minute. What exactly are we doing? Forget what this says. What are we doing?
We're trying to take care of the problems as fast as we can, especially the ones that look dangerous, and that's why we hired an outside company to do the ones on main streets and main roads. And that's not consistent with what this is saying.
That's correct.
Right, I understand.
But that's not consistent with what we're mailing to every utility customer right now, which tends to look as if it's reading we're only worrying about it once every 5 years.
Okay.
I will look into it. I don't believe that it's that confusing, okay. But I'm happy to look into it, and if it's not too late, we'll try to make the wording simpler so that people
well,
can understand.
I hope
it.
I've clarified it slightly by informing the public so that they won't jump on me the same way my wife did when she
exactly.
read it.
So I just want, you know,
I wonder how
we have a plan. We're executing that plan. This is a matter of wording.
Right.
I do have a question about ash trees.
And if I may, as further education, next Wednesday, October the 19th, a week from this Wednesday at 7 p.m., the SPAC town meeting will be focusing on the Emerald Ash Borer, talking about what the city's plan is, talking about the new 50-50 program, and talking about other ideas that SPAC may bring back to the council. So there's a chance for more education and more information next Wednesday night, October 19th, 7 to 9, right here.
I do have a question about the ash trees, and I'm not looking for anybody to blame, but how the heck did we get into these ash trees 5 or 10 years ago? And was it a recommendation from some supplier? And I know that the disease occurred, showed up in this country after the ash trees had been planted. But I'm just wondering,
if we had some sort of maple disease, would we be asking ourselves how did we get into maple trees?
It's unfortunate.
Dutch elm.
Asking a question. I thought this was an open forum that I could ask a question.
Well, I agree with your question, but the fact is that ash trees are a small portion of the total variety of trees that we plant.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, we have 2,000 ash trees out of how many trees in public spaces?
They're about 20% of all of the public trees that we have planted.
Yeah,
and they're on a list that was approved many, many years ago by the city council.
The answer is simple, Sam. When the elm trees all had to come down, we went out for a list of approved trees, and the city approved a list of 5 different trees. They were planted. 20% of them were ashes, unfortunately.
Exactly.
That list was... vetted with Morton Arboretum and everybody else.
I was, okay.
Right. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, that was 30 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure. I wasn't around then.
Nobody had heard of the Emerald Ash Borer, okay?
Well, and the reason that I took exception is because it sounds like we made some sort of boneheaded decision.
No, I don't think so.
Because we could not foresee some coming to infect 20% of our trees.
No, I wasn't suggesting that. I was just wondering... when was the decision made? And I'm sure that it was made before there was an ash borer coming to Detroit from China.
And, you know, I grew up in the Detroit area, so I'm sure that the Detroit people, I brought it with me.
You brought that firewood.
My high school reunion, they gave me a whole box of ash borers to bring to Geneva.
They put it in your golf bag.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. A much more appropriate question.
Nobody from the press, oh, yeah.
Are these printed yet to go out? Because I think Stephanie's suggestion, Stephanie's meeting should be right on the top here.
Our,
right
our meeting will be before those go in the utility bills. On the last utility bill, where we have the, there's a three-line message we can put out, it talked about the meeting. So, unfortunately, the meeting will have already occurred by the time residents get those.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions regarding
by the way.
Put those in it.
I have concerns regarding the disposal. Am I correct in assuming that if a private citizen has a tree to be removed, he will contract someone who has the abilities to be able to do so, but he must get a permit from the city in order for that tree to be removed? Is that correct?
If the city is removing the trees in the public way, if the homeowner wants to pay for it himself, then yes, the contractor would have to get a permit from the city to do that.
And as well as if it is on his private property, one needs a permit to remove that ash tree?
No, he wouldn't need a permit if it's on his own private property. He would contract and pay for it.
Correct. And the contractor who would be performing the service is going to be made aware of the fact that the area is quarantined to the extent that those remainders of whatever the trees are, the branches and whatever, are to be removed in a special area or relocated in a special area. Can that homeowner use burn that wood in his fireplace if he so chooses?
Right now.
Yes, you can burn it. You cannot move it. It's quarantined in this county. You cannot move it from this county. And it is recommended that it be chipped twice and not used for anything else. Can it be burnt on site? Yes.
Okay.
Only if you have a hot dog over it.
But not until we have recreational fire ordinance that allows it.
There are permitted tree variances as well. And I understand that if a citizen would want to plant a tree on his parkway, he will have to pay for. He'll have to excuse me. I have a terrible cold. That citizen would have to pay for the $150 towards the $300 fee for the planting of that tree. What if the citizen would like to plant a larger tree, meeting that variance, those variances, and the tree would cost, say, $500. Will the city reimburse that citizen $150?
That $150 cost is an average estimate based on the size of trees that we normally plant. If the homeowner wanted something larger than that, then they would pay the difference. The 50-50 program would be in place. But if they wanted to plant a larger fee, the city would pay for half of what we would typically plant.
Which would be the $150.
Approximately $150, and then the homeowner could elect to pay for the difference
remaining
for a larger tree.
Okay.
If they so chose.
May I add something, Mr. Chairman? I asked this exact question of Mr. LeMaire at Public Works, and he pointed out that private homeowners who wish to take down ash trees should certainly use bonded, certified, insured people in the business, because they know that they must obey with the local King County quarantine.
Yeah,
if you're not using such a person, the city has no way of enforcing whether or not they're violating the quarantine. And as for the question of can you burn, we have an ordinance in place today that says you can't. And if the tree you cut down is too large to be taken away as part of the city's brush pickup, which means it has to be smaller than 12 inches, et cetera, and 12 feet, you will have to pay a contractor to take it away unless you yourself can haul it to a contracted disposal site. And again, that's covered by quarantine. So it is not a homeowner who is interested in taking down their own ash trees would be advised to talk to Public Works
exactly. And
get opinion on these things, because it's not straightforward. This is a quarantine county. So, and they will advise you both on parkway trees, and they will talk to you about your what they understand about what you do with a tree on your own property. And they're very good about that.
For indoor fireplaces,
you can use the wood in an indoor fireplace.
They could burn it for that.
Thank you for that explanation.
Then you'd have the screen to follow.
There is that.
Well, they've already been shipped.
Not a guy who does. All right. Any other new business? Nope. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mr.
Second.
Marks. Second Alderman Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Good night. I oppose. We never had.